if you would stand with me as we go into the song service. Psalm 133 and verse 1, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." Let's go to Him in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank You for Your goodness. I thank You for this time that we can come together, we can worship You. And Lord, we do thank You for the unity that we do have in Jesus. We pray that You would be honored and glorified in all that is said and done tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
We're saying, "I am resolved."
Well, what a blessing, I tell you. I love to hear our kids sing. It's good to have Patch the Pirate for them to develop those talents and then to see them use those talents for the Lord surely is a great blessing. All right. Tonight, we're going to be in the book of Isaiah. And so if you join me there in Isaiah tonight. We're going to be in Isaiah chapter 24. Supposed to be here. Hmm.
Isaiah chapter 24. How many of you like computers? Because it should be on the big sky up here in the, but it's not here on this. We'll just go at it, I guess. All right. Isaiah chapter 24. If you found that, you can stand with me in reverence to the reading of the Word of God. Verse number 1, Behold, the Lord maketh the earth empty, and maketh it waste, and turneth it upside down, and scattereth abroad the inhabitants thereof. And it shall be as with the people, so with the priest, as with the servant, so with his master, as with the maid, so with her mistress, as with the buyer, so with the seller, as with the lender, so with the borrower, as with the taker of usury, so with the giver of usury to him. The land shall be utterly emptied and utterly spoiled, for the Lord hath spoken this word. The earth mourneth and fadeth away, the world languisheth and fadeth away, the haughty people of the earth do languish. Lord, we love you today, and we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for the truth we find in Scripture. We thank you for where we are in the timeline of this earth. What an exciting thing to be a part of the year 2020, now the year 2021, to see what is unfolding before us in the world. And Lord, we can't help but think that your return is very soon. And Lord, I pray that we as Christians might remain faithful to you. Lord, that we'd seek to walk with you and to know you and to put you first in our lives and our hearts. Lord, I pray that you would just be honored and glorified in all that we do. Thank you for this time together tonight. And Lord, pray that you'd use it for your glory. We love you and we ask these things in your wonderful name. Amen. And so you may be seated. And so here we come to Isaiah chapter 24, 25, 26, and 27. And they all deal with us, okay? So the previous, you remember, we're dealing with Jerusalem and Moab and the Ammonites and, you know, all the judgment that was going to come upon them. And then we come here just kind of stuck right in the middle of it. God is dealing with us as far as where we're at, the tribulation and the millennial reign of Christ. And so this is very relevant for us today. If I was to go through Scripture and begin to pick out pieces that I was wanting to preach on today, prophecy, this would be part of that Scripture that I would pick out. And so it's very relevant for us. It'd be worthwhile to investigate and spend time reading and rereading this and studying it, that we might apply it to our lives and even watch for it in the world around us. And, you know, as he begins here in verse number 1, says, Behold, the Lord maketh the earth empty, and maketh it waste, and turneth it upside down, and scattereth abroad the inhabitants thereof. And it shall be as with the people, so with the priest, as with the servant, so with the master, as with the maid, so with the mistress, as with the buyer, so with the seller, as with the lender, so with the borrower, and with the taker of usury, so with the giver of usury to him. And so he's saying to us, he's saying, look, it's not really going to matter who you are, where you are, what you are. When it comes judgment time, it's judgment time. When it comes time to judge this earth in which we live, when it comes to that time where we're going to be looking back and we're going to be saying, Lord, what is this thing that you're trying to accomplish? He's going to be set about to do his will, and no one's going to affect it. And, you know, we know from Scripture that when we get to the great white throne judgment, that every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus is Lord. And it doesn't matter what you did on this earth, doesn't matter how much money you made, It doesn't matter that you had maybe a name for yourself and you had lots of stuff and maybe even a lot of influence. What's going to matter is what you did with Jesus Christ. And so we have a great responsibility as we're looking at the latter days, as we consider even where we are tonight. You know, we think about where we are tonight and we go, man, you know, we've got this next week. On Wednesday will be the inauguration of a president in America. I'm still holding out. I'm not going to say that for the one. I'm going to say I'm still holding out, okay? And I'm still praying that, you know, God's going to do something. But there's going to be an inauguration, maybe. And, you know, I'm still holding out on who I hope that to be. But I've got to realize it doesn't really matter who is inaugurated next Wednesday. What matters is that I need to continue to live for Jesus Christ. I need to live for Jesus Christ, whether A is inaugurated or B is inaugurated. We might as well put a chimpanzee in there also. No matter who is inaugurated, I still need to live for the Lord. I still need to have influence in this world in which we live. Now, I do believe that if we inaugurate one of those two guys, that it's going to be harder to live for God and serve Him with our life. And so, you know, I'm still praying that the other one gets in so we can continue reaching souls for the Lord. But we have that responsibility. And, you know, we're preparing Richard, going to send him out here in March, and going to send him around to churches to raise support. And we're just going to push forward like we didn't know any better. We're going to push forward thinking, you know, it's green light, go. And God's going to have to do something to stop it. But He needs to get to the field that God has called him to. And so we have that responsibility. We still have a responsibility to put God first in our life. We still have a responsibility in all that we do that we might bring honor and glory to Him. And so there's not going to be a difference between the mistress or the maid. There's not going to be a difference between the buyer and the seller, the lender and the borrower. It's not going to make a difference. The land shall be utterly empty and utterly spoiled, for the Lord has spoken His word. How many times, hopefully, you've studied through the book of Revelation and you have a grasp or an understanding of the fact that when we go through, or we're not going through, but when this world goes through the tribulation period, there's going to be an outpouring of wrath upon this earth that this world's never seen. You know, I think about the fact that there's going to be giant hailstones that are going to fall out of the sky. I think about the different vials and the different judgments, the trumpets that God has in place. I think of the horsemen that are going to come. There's going to be the horsemen of death and judgment. And I think about all that's going to happen to this earth. And I want you to know I'm thankful that I'm saved. I'm thankful I'm not going to have to endure that. And I pity the lost. I pity those who are going to be here to have to endure that. And they're going to be standing there with a loved one or a friend and a hailstorm fall out of the sky and they're going to be squat and they'll be left alone or death is going to come. And, you know, we think COVID-19 is something. COVID-19 ain't nothing compared to what's going to come in that day. And judgment's going to come. And we need to realize that while we can, we still need to share Jesus Christ. While we can, we still need to try to affect this world for the cause of Christ. The Bible says the earth mourneth and fadeth away. The world languisheth and fadeth away. The haughty people of the earth do languish. I've got a list of haughty people I'd really like to see languishing. But anyhow, it's a promise. God's got this. God's going to take care of it. God's going to write the books. And many times, I guess the big problem is I want to help Him write the books. But we've got to learn to say, God, it's yours. You take it. You judge it. You have your will done in it. And then verse 5 says, the earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, and broken the everlasting covenant. Boy, that's pretty relevant for where we live today. Pretty relevant where we are right now. I mean, mankind is trying to change what is right. They're trying to call good evil and evil good. They're trying to change what God meant to be male and female. They're trying to change what is sin and what is not sin. And they're out trying to change this world in which we live. But listen, God is a righteous judge. He'll not be changed by their whims and by whatever destructive terms they want to come up with and however they might think that they're going to rule this place. The truth of the matter is that God is in charge. Verse 6 says, therefore hath the curse devoured the earth, and they that dwell therein are desolate. Therefore the inhabitants of the earth are burned, a few men left, and new wine mourneth, the vine languisheth, all the merry-hearted do sigh. The mirth of Tebert cease, and the noise of them that rejoice end, and the joy of the heart ceaseth. They shall not drink wine with a song. Strong drink shall be bitter to them that drink it. And the city of confusion is broken down. Every house is shut up that no man may come in. There is a crying for wine in the streets. All joy is darkened, and mirth of the land is gone. It's going to be so bad there's not going to be any joy to be had. Whether you try to bolster yourself up with drink, and you think, man, you know, if I drink this, that's what a lot of world does tonight. They drink so they can relax. They drink so that they can enjoy this world around them. And the truth of the matter is, on this day, it doesn't matter what you do. You can shoot whatever dope you want to shoot. You can drink whatever wine or hard liquor you want to drink. But at this time, there is no joy. There is no happiness. There's no way to bring it about. There's nothing to excite that within the individual because of all the destruction and the heartache that they've seen. And the city is left desolate, and the gate is smitten with destruction. When thus it shall be in the midst of the land among the people, there shall be as the shaking of an olive tree, and as the gleaning grapes when the vintage is done. And they shall lift up their voice, they shall sing for the majesty of the Lord. They shall cry aloud from the sea. Wherefore glorify ye the Lord in the fires, even the name of the Lord God of Israel in the isles of the sea. Even in the midst, there will be an opportunity to bring praise to God, but there won't be a lot of people praising Him because all the saved are going to be gone. There'll be a remnant trying to affect the world around them and trying to win people to the Lord, but for the most part, no one's going to get saved. It's going to be a hard time. And then verse 16, from the uttermost part of the earth have we heard the songs, even glory to the righteous. But I said, my leanness, woe unto me. The treacherous dealers have dealt treacherously. Yea, the treacherous dealers have dealt very treacherously. Fear and the pit and the snare are upon thee, O inhabitant of the earth. And it shall come to pass that he who fleeth from the noise of fear shall fall into the pit. Kind of amazing how we can even see in our day and age that people flee when there's no one chasing them. How that fear can overcome individuals. We've witnessed that with this COVID-19 thing, and we've witnessed it with the way people react. And, you know, my wife and I went out on New Year's Day because it snowed. Amen? Can't think of a better reason to be out. We got a four-wheel drive for a reason, so we can go play in the snow. And so we go up to the Legends. I was looking for a new coat. We went to Kohl's. We found a coat. We go to the front to pay for it. And I kid you not, you know, they have those people in a little gated area, you know, like you put a horse or some other critter in. And we come up on this side and put the coat down, and this lady went clear back here in the corner. And she goes, is that all you want? And she takes the little scanner thing, and she points it out, and ping, you know. Okay, well, you can put your card in there. And she stood back the whole time. She's got the mask and gloves and full armor. No, she didn't have full armor suit. But she had gloves and she had a mask, and she was scared to death. She was scared to death. Man, I don't want to live in fear. I don't want to live in fear. Why? Because I got Jesus in my heart. I got Jesus in my heart. And I'm looking forward. I don't want to be crazy about that. I don't want to be just totally lackadaisical, but the people of this world are super fearful of where they're at. It's going to be worse here. It's going to be worse than this day. No joy, no happiness. No one walking up, hey man, how you doing? Glad to see you. None of that. It's just going to be fear and anguish. People are going to run and they're going to think that the fear is upon them. They're going to fall in the pit. That pit could very well be depression. That pit very well could be some place where, you know, it's a dark, dreary shut-in for them. But they're going to be in a pit. Listen, God doesn't want us to live in a pit. God wants us to live out in the open. He wants us to live for His honor and for His glory. And so we need to be about doing His work while we can. But in this day, it's going to be all about hiding and all about fear and all about what might come. And he that cometh out of the midst of the pit shall take in the snare. For the windows from on high are open, and the foundations of the earth do shake. The earth is utterly broken down. The earth is clean, dissolved. The earth is moved exceedingly. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard. Sounds like earthquakes to me. And shall be removed like a cottage, and the transgression thereof shall be heavy upon it, and it shall fall and not rise again. They're going to see things in that day. They're going to experience things in that day that we can't even hardly imagine. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall punish the host of the high ones that are on high, and the kings of the earth upon the earth. And they shall be gathered together as prisoners are gathered in the pit, and shall be shut up in the prison. After many days shall they be visited. Then the moon shall be confounded and the sun ashamed, when the Lord of hosts shall reign in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem and before His ancients gloriously. So the high, they're all around us. The high and lifted up, those who are pretty proud of their accomplishments, those who think that they've got this all in hand, those who have maybe cheated their way through life or gotten gain the wrong way, or they placed all their emphasis in money, fame, and fortune, and they walked over all those under them. Listen, one day it's all going to be on equal ground. One day judgment will come, and it'll be for all mankind. By the way, I would much rather be with Jesus than with them. Fame and fortune and the high look and the proud and the haughty. What a horrible way to live life. And they've got to always be thinking of this, that judgment's going to come. Judgment's going to come. And the Scripture promises God will be their judge. Verse 25. O Lord, Thou art my God. I will exalt Thee. I will praise Thy name. For Thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. Boy, as we look back over the life that God has given us, some's a little shorter than others, others a lot longer. We can look back, and I think that each and every one of us who named the name of Christ can say, you know what? God's been good to me. God deserves to be exalted. Amen. He's my God. And I will exalt Him. Notice this is all first person pronoun stuff. I will exalt Him. I will praise Thy name. I'm not going to wait on someone else to exalt the Lord. Listen, you know, we ought to have a regular time in our life that we get alone with God. That's one reason when we started these devotions that are out there. And by the way, don't forget, you can go to Sermon Audio every day and you can download the devotion of the day and listen to it. And when we started this devotional time, that's why I wanted Friday to be Thankful Fridays. I had people say, why not Thankful Thursday? Because I wanted it to be Thankful Friday. I love Friday. I like Friday, Doc. You know, every place I ever worked before, I got paid on Friday. That was not the day to skip work. If you're going to be sick on Monday, amen. Who wants to go to work on Monday? But Friday, we ought to be thankful for Friday. Man, I love Friday. And now I've made Friday my day off. So I really like it now. Thankful Friday. We've got so much to be thankful for. But if we're not careful, we get in the humdrum of life and we lose our focus off the Lord. And before long, we're thinking, oh, I've got this bill to pay and I got that bill to pay and I got this to do and I got that to do. And we forget to just stop and say, wait a minute. Thou art my God. And I will exalt thee. Wasn't it cool to see these little kids up here tonight? Some of them ain't so little anymore, amen. I remember when they were all about Matthew's size over here, you know, just all little kids. It's been great to watch them grow up. Great to watch them grow up, be friends, grow up together in church and develop their talents for the Lord. I'm telling you, it's a great thing. But I can't let this group of kids that got up here and sang, I can't let them exalt the Lord for me. I got to exalt Him myself. Now, it's great that they, and I think it's a great thing to teach these children to exalt the Lord, to sing, to bring honor to His name. But listen, I cannot absolve myself because I went to a church and a preacher got up and preached, or someone got up and sang, or someone got up and gave testimony about how great God was, and they exalted Him. And I walk out the door feeling that maybe somehow, in a weird way, I was a part of that. But the truth of the matter is, I need to exalt Him myself. I need to lift Him up. I need to glorify Him. And He said, I will praise Thy name, for Thou hast done wonderful things. Man, I think about all the things that God has done for me, and I think, why in the world would He do that for me? But I will say this, what He's done for me, He'll do for you. He's been so faithful to me, so gracious to me. I can do nothing else but bring honor and glory to His name. For Thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels are of old, are faithfulness and truth. And we've got an example right here. Amen. Examples of the old. Amen. He was faithful to Abraham. He was faithful to Isaac, to Jacob. He's been faithful all through the years. A 6,000-year span, God has been faithful. And from before into everlasting, He will be faithful. I think I'd just be a fool if I didn't acknowledge the faithfulness of God. It's from old and faithfulness and truth, and God has just been so faithful. Verse 2, for Thou hast made of a city an heap, of a defense city a ruin, a palace of strangers to be no city, and it shall never be built. Therefore shall the strong people glorify Thee, the city of the terrible nations shall fear Thee, for Thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat, when the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall. Thou shalt bring down the noise of strangers as the heat in a dry place, even the heat in the shadow of a cloud. The branch of the terrible ones shall be brought low. And God is faithful. God will judge the nations. God will judge the heathen. All those who lift themselves up before God one day will be brought low, for He is the righteous judge. Verse 6, and in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things, a feast of wines on the lees and fat things, full of marrow, of wines of the lees well refined. And He will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering, cast over all people, and the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death in victory. Hallelujah for that. You know, I want to stand there by the lake of fire. I want to see the devil cast in. He's been nothing but a thorn in my side my whole life. I want to see Him cast in. I want to see Him cast in because He's been the creator of cancer and death and all that's come wicked in this world. I can't wait to see Him cast in. And the death and hell going to be cast into the lake of fire. And I'm so thankful to know that when Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary and they laid Him in that tomb, and it looked like He was dead, that 3 days later He came forth victorious. He has the victory. Christian friend, let's not live like we're defeated. We're on the winning side. Amen? And the Lord God, we're on the winning side no matter who gets in the White House, by the way. I just want to make that clear. Someone pointed out to me a month ago or so, you know, God was still God when Christians were taken by Nero and used to dip in pitch and be lit as torches so that they might party underneath their dyingness. I'm telling you, God is still God. God has still got the victory. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the rebuke of His people shall be taken away from off the earth, for the Lord has spoken it. Man, it'd be so good to have the tears gone, to have the brokenness and the heartache that goes with it gone. And it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for Him, and He will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for Him. We will be glad and rejoice in His salvation. For in this mountain shall the hand of the Lord rest, and Moab shall be trodden down under Him, even as straw is trodden down for the dunghill. And He shall spread forth His hands in the midst of them, as he that swimmeth spreadeth forth his hands to swim. And He shall bring down their pride together with the spoils of their hands, and the fortresses of the high fort of all the walls shall bring down, lay low, and bring to the ground, even to the dust. That's our God. Judgment's coming. Okay? Judgment's coming. No way around it. Whether it's this year, 4 years from now, whatever it is, judgment's coming. We're promised judgment's going to come. Destruction of this earth is coming. Okay? The Bible says in James, it's going to be consumed by fire. There's going to be a new heaven, new earth. This old one's got to go. It's racked with sin and destruction. It's got to go. It's got to be purified. Our God is God through it all. He's settled. He's settled. And He deserves to be exalted and praised and loved and lifted up. And He ought to rule and reign in our lives. Because all this is truth. I'll just be a little honest with you. You know, with all this election stuff going on, I've been trolling the phone. Find this guy. Listen to him. This is going to happen. This is going to happen. Find this guy. Oh, this is going to happen. This is going to happen. Oh, this is already underway. And it's gotten to the point, it's like, I don't know if I can believe any of them. But I know who I can trust. And it's Him. It's Him. Lord, I don't know what Your plan is. I hope that You would spare our nation, but God, if that's not Your plan, then I know You'll give us the grace to go through whatever we need to go through. You know, people far greater than us have paid great prices to be Christians. Why shouldn't it come our way? Someone asked me several months ago about my wife's cancer. And I said, why shouldn't we have to deal with that? I've helped others through it. And every time I go through a situation like this, it tenders my heart that much more for the people that I help. Why shouldn't we go through this? God's grown me and I hope strengthened me to the point that I just turn to Him. I'd have no place else to turn. No place else to turn but Him. He hadn't failed me yet. Hadn't failed her yet. Her spirit's so sweet and tender about where we're at and what we're going through. We're just trusting God. And why not us? Other great people have gone through these things. But wouldn't it be tragic if when all this started, there was a rebellion that came out of my heart and said, why, God? Look at what we're doing. Look at what we've tried to do all these years. God, why us? That's the wrong reply. It's really, why not us? If God can use it for His glory, that's our prayer every time that we pray. God, use us for Your glory. If He gets glory, that's all I want. Lord Jesus, I love You, and I thank You so much for the truth of Your Word. And thank You for Isaiah 24 and 25. So much more that could be developed here. And because of time, I will not be able to do it. But I pray that Your people might take time, look this over, pray about it, study it, glean even deeper insights and greater help for them as they walk with You. God, I just want to thank You for being a great and awesome God that You are, for Your great love, to us. You're so wonderful, God. You've never failed us. God, we just want to exalt you. We want to lift you up. We want to praise your name. Lord, I pray that you give us the strength just to walk with you and to serve you in all we do. We love you, Lord, and we ask these things in your wonderful, most precious name. Amen. Would you stand with me tonight? Altar's open. We're in Sing 316. God spoke to your heart. Would you come? Brother Charlie, good. Will come with our prayers request tonight.
First there, under personal and physical issues, do continue to pray for the church members there, Edith Glendenning.